In our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And may the Lord speak to you tonight. I've been praying that the Lord will help me to this message in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're just going to read, and we're going to go all the way to verse 2 Chronicles chapter 20. All the way to verse 13. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, from the side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hezen Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the midst of congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, and in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of heaven? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and gave us to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If evil cometh upon us as sword and judgment and pestilence or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out in thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Heavenly Father, we pray that today, Lord, you speak to our hearts. Father, you use my feeble lips, sometimes stammering, sometimes mispronouncing, Lord, but Father, I need your power tonight, and I pray that you prepare the hearts of this people, and I pray that, Lord, you would speak to them, and that you would be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. There is some reminders to me here in this verse of certain things that can come to pass. We see here, number one, the situation of King Jehoshaphat. We know King Jehoshaphat was a good king. He made some mistakes. He suffered for those mistakes. But we see here that he was a man who wanted to do right before the Lord, and did right before the Lord. In fact, the Bible says of him, and he did that which was right before the Lord. Not very many kings that the Bible can say that about. But he purposed in his heart to do right before God. One of the things that King Jehoshaphat preoccupied himself with is that the word of God was taught in every home. He prepared the Levites, and he prepared all of those to go and teach the word of God to families and to those that were in the land of Judah. Really, there was a revival in this time. But as of every good work, and we can be sure of this, and of every time we try to do something for God, understand that we also have an enemy. We have an enemy called the devil that is constantly looking to discourage, constantly looking to stand in the way of our Christian progress. If you're here tonight, I want you to understand that you are involved in a battle. You're saved. You've been born again by the power of God. You have been changed. I want you to understand that we have an enemy. This enemy is preoccupied with discouraging. This enemy is preoccupied with trying to stop the work that is going on for God. We can go back in our Christian life in many situations, and even in our own testimony, we can see how Satan in many occasions had stood in our way in our Christian living. We are in a battle. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, we told, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we are told of this battle that we're in. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul gives us the words here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The first thing that the believer must recognize is that his power comes from God. I cannot beat the devil in my own power. I cannot beat the devil in my own strength. I need God's power. Amen? But he says here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He tells us, and we've gone over this verse so many times, to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the position for every Christian who is involved in the battle is not a position of sitting down, but is the position of standing. We ought to be standing upon the principles of the Word of God. We ought to be standing upon the true Word of God. Let me tell you tonight, if you're not standing on the Word of God, you do not have the power of God. If you're not standing with Jesus Christ and living life in the Spirit, you do not have the power of God. If you're not standing in prayer tonight and you're not, you are involved in a battle and you do not have the power of God, put on the whole armor of God. Battle of standing for the believer when he stands is to put on the whole armor, not just the partial armor, but the whole armor of God. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle tonight is not with in an individual basis or with another person. In fact, he said, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle tonight is not a physical battle, but is a spiritual battle. We are involved in a battle with Satan himself. I want you to know, in my own strength, I cannot defeat the devil. I need God's power. But it's important for me to understand, first of all, that I am involved in a battle. So number one, I need to understand my place. Secondly, I need to understand where my power comes from. And thirdly, I need to understand my opponent. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. By the way, folks, we need to understand that our battle tonight to protect the things of God is not against flesh and blood. It is Satan that's standing in the way of your Christian growth. It is Satan that's standing in the way of your Christian understanding. It is Satan tonight that is standing in the way of your service for God. And he looks to battle you. And he looks to put you in the place of surrender. We are involved in this battle against the rulers of darkness of this world. Satan is running tonight an army against the people of God, and he has a stronghold that he's looking to destroy anything that takes place for the cause of God. We are involved in a battle. I look back into that scripture tonight in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The word came, you are involved, it came to pass, listen there, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. His was a physical battle, but the destruction was the impending destruction of Jerusalem. And here there comes a mighty army and is coming against Jehoshaphat tonight. We need to understand our opponent, amen? We need to understand his history. We need to understand that his history in the past has always been spiritual wickedness. He stands for everything that is evil. He stands for sin. And his purpose tonight is to destroy you and destroy the work that Christ is doing in you. That is the purpose of the devil tonight. He wants to distract you from your walk with God. He wants to take you away from your service to God. He wants to right now pull you from your place of service and your place of right standing to get you under his control. His battle tonight is a battle of control. We understand that he's a liar and the father of all lies. Excuse me, even in the beginning, we understood that he lied and he deceived man. And because of his deception, death came in. The very first sin recorded in the Bible was that of Satan ascending unto the throne of God and saying, I will be like you. You know, one of the things we need to realize tonight, that this sense of equality that we have in our society today, this sense of equal everything, it really is a thing from Satan. And you say, how can you say that? Because in the beginning, God established certain roles in the home. In the beginning, God established certain roles for the father, certain roles for the mother, certain roles for the children. And today we have people looking for equality. I want to be equal. Well, you know, I hate to tell you this, and I don't mean to sound like a male chauvinist, like some would call, I don't care what you call me, but the Bible says that we husbands ought to love our wives and give honor to them as the what? Weaker vessel. Now, I'm not saying that all of a sudden now we're to be lord over them, but lovingly the husband is to lead his home. Most of the problem in America today, I believe, are fathers not taking their spiritual responsibility and their God-given responsibility to lead their homes. God has called us to be leaders in our home. God has also called us to be lovers in our home, giving honor to our wives. Not making him feel any less than us. But notice that the word that is used there as the what? Weaker vessel. Now the word weaker, we have to understand that it means that there's something that is weak and something that is weaker. Husbands, we're not that much strong either. Amen? We need God's power. And the reason America is in the way it is today is because we men that should get under the power of God, we men that should get under the direction of God, have taken our God-given responsibility and have shed our responsibility, and all of a sudden we don't care about our responsibility, our spiritual responsibility to our children. This is the devil at work. In the beginning he said, I will descend unto his throne. And I will be like him. See, the biggest problem we wrestled with is that area of pride. That area in our own hearts where we try to be under God. He said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I need God's power. If I am to lead my family the way that God wants me to lead my family, if my home is to be a spirit-filled home, I, as a father, need the power of God. I need God's power. There is a battle going on, and I want you to know if we can take, there's two positions that we can take in battle. When Satan comes to attack us, there's two positions that we can take in battle. That is, we can take a position of defense or a position of retreat. And may I say that in this day and age, we as a church need to take the position of defense. Now look at this, verse 2. There came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond seaside of Syria. And behold, they're in Hazen Tamar and is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat what? Feared. You know what the problem in our nation is today is we are raising a nation of fearful people. Understand what I'm saying. We're raising fearful people that are afraid to offend somebody else if we take a certain stand. We are very prone to perceptions. You know, we want people to think well of us, and I certainly do. I want people to think well of me, but let me tell you something. There is some positions in the Word of God that I cannot bend down. I don't care what other people think. There's some things in the Word of God that I cannot surrender. I don't care what other people think. Amen? I am an independent, fundamentalist Baptist. Amen? And the reason I am a fundamentalist independent Baptist is because I believe certain things. Amen. I believe that the Word of God is preserved in the King James Bible. Amen. I'm not going to give that up. I believe that soul winning is the way that God has called us to grow the church. God did not call us to grow the church with gimmicks. God did not call us to grow the church with popular groups. God called us to grow the church, going out into all the world and reaching the gospel. Amen? Preaching the gospel to every creature. We need to take the stance of the fence. We need to take the stance on the fence on holy living. There is just some things that we have to be determined that we're going to be the fence about. Listen, I tell you what, even in Christianity, in Christianity, quote, as a whole today, we have some that are taking, you know, we are involved in a battle. Do you know, I look at lately these groups that arise and all of a sudden call themselves Christian and want to battle the devil by joining in with his tactics. Amen? Listen, God has given me a standard of truth, a standard that is found in the Word of God. I don't understand how someone say they can be trying to reach and trying to accomplish the same goals that we're trying to accomplish using methods that are different from ours. What do you mean by methods? Well, folks, I just don't happen to believe in Christian rock. I think it's from the devil. I think it's a lie. I don't happen to believe in these so-called movements that are arising in this last day. What so-called movement? Let me give you one of them. One of my pet peeves is this Promise Keepers movement, you know. Going around and all of a sudden they're joining hand with people that we know that are doctrinally against the Word of God and in history have stood against the Word of God. And all of a sudden we're joining hands because we want to join hands for a cause. Let me tell you something. We need to stay pure in the battle. Amen? There is some people that I will not join up with. Ecumenicalism happens to be, you know, one of the dangers. You know that fundamentalist preaching is not being done anymore because nobody wants to offend anybody. But if we preach the book the way it's meant to be preached, it's going to offend somebody. Listen, someone said a long time ago, if a bird lands on your head, it's not your fault. But if he stays there and builds a nest, that's your fault. And let me tell you something. Sometimes we get involved into sin. Rather than standing for things, we begin to allow certain things to happen. You see, Satan is a subtle enemy. In the beginning, Satan was subtle. His methods of battle are subtle. And he still comes in the disguise of trying to be alongside of us or trying to be in the sight of good. And can I tell you, those subtle methods have weakened the church. Some of the biggest arguments in Christianity today is instead of standing on a standard of truth, we don't know where we're going to stand. Well, you know, we're King James Church, but you don't have to be King James. I'm sorry, folks. I believe this is God's preserved word. Amen. I believe God has a standard as truth. I believe there ought to be a standard in dress. I believe there ought to be standards. I like the old hymns. I'm glad we don't have a projector with little songlets. But I'm glad we're singing hymns that are doctrinally profound, that stir the heart. I'm glad I'm still singing about the blood of Jesus. I'm glad that we didn't give up when the battle came and all of the sun. You remember how popular it was? Everybody had little projectors with their songs. Oh, we just want to sing the sweet songs, you know. I love you, Lord. Don't sing the ones about sin. Don't sing the ones about... Someone said, well, you know, every time you preach about the blood, that is grotesque. Well, I want you to know the blood of Jesus is precious. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Listen, so much Satan has come in. Jehoshaphat knew that the battle was coming. Jehoshaphat, we ought to know that the battle is coming and the battle is here. It's not popular to stand on the things we stand on today. And it gets less and less popular to become, you know, let me tell you something. I believe it's happening in the political realm. I believe it's happening in this realm. You know, you look at the double standards that the world has today when they report a fallen preacher. You look at the double standards when someone commits. Let me give you a perfect example. We have this this senator or this person that was Edwards that was running for president last year, committed adultery, a sin before the eyes of God, committed adultery. And where is he today? The media didn't say a word. Boy, you let someone who's conservative, who stands on principle, that happened to them, it's a whole different story, amen? Let me give you one more. Michael Jackson was a pedophile. We knew that it was proven that he was a pedophile, stood there and gave children money to silence them. And what did the nation do when he died? Oh man, I tell you what, the papers couldn't help but say, what a spiritual thing that thing was. Singing, we are going to see the king. Well, they're not going to see. They're not singing about the king we're going to see. Amen? But they were singing about worldly kings. Let me tell you something. This is an example to you. The worldly king was dead in a gold casket. The king that I have has risen. On the third day, he rose from the dead. Amen? Hallelujah. And he's alive today. And we're in a battle. And Jehoshaphat knew that the battle was coming. We have enemies from all sides looking to cast and to take down that which we have known is for truth. We need to understand his motivations. His motivation is to get you not to grow in your faith, to make the gospel of Christ ineffective. And in these last days, he has had more tactics to try to discredit, to try to take away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, I can see Jehoshaphat's reaction. Look at verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared. You know, one of the things that the Bible tells us is that the fear of man bringeth a snare. You fear people, you will forever be snared. We don't preach certain things. We don't stand on certain things. And I'm not saying here, but in certain churches that happens because they fear popular opinion. Northampton, Massachusetts, I had a preacher. Name was Richard Pash. I wish you could have met him. Northampton, Massachusetts, every year, the weekend before Mother's Day, the homosexuals have a parade. Brother Richard Pash decided that one year he was going to put a casket in the middle of Northampton. By the way, the place where revival happened, Jonathan Edwards preached in Northampton, buried there. And if you don't have not heard the message, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God, that was preached. And that preacher lived in Northampton. Even David Brainerd, missionary to the Indians, buried in Northampton, Massachusetts, the cornerstone of Christianity during the first century, Northampton, Massachusetts. And here we are 2,000 years later, and they're having a gay march, marching up and down that street. Brother Richard Pash loved the Lord, and he would not bend. He put up a casket in the middle of the street. And inside of that casket, he put a sign that said, "We at North at Faith Baptist Church in Northampton, Massachusetts, mourn the death of the morals of Northampton, Mass." I tell you what, they got so upset, they arrested him. The next week, we had a group of homosexuals sit in our church. Brother Richard passed without wavering, without fear, preached the message that took the wind right out of their sails, because he didn't waver. He didn't move. He knew the battle. Listen, he might have feared, but he did what Jehoshaphat did. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. You see, fear is a natural reaction. In fact, the Bible says that fear is going to happen to us. Perfect love casteth out all fear, the Bible says. It is a natural reaction that when we get in the middle of a battle, when we look at the numbers. By the way, there is a crowd out there that, let me tell you, they may be loud, but they certainly are not the full numbers. Amen? Sometimes we fear people because they got the loudest mouth. When I was a young man, You know, there was we had a neighbor. I hated going in his yard because he was always yelling at me. And sometimes we bring that into our own, listen, life, Christian life as well. We fear those with the biggest mouth. They may not necessarily have the highest number, but they have the biggest mouth. Jehoshaphat feared, but he sought the Lord. The thing is, what's your reaction when the battle comes? What's your reaction, because the battle is coming, when things happen? Jehoshaphat feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, the battle has come. What have you resolved to do? Have you taken Jehoshaphat approach to set yourself to seek the Lord? Sometimes it takes a decisive reaction to opposition. What are you going to do? You're in the battle already, but you don't go in your own strength. Jehoshaphat went in God's strength. Not only did he seek his heart to seek the Lord, but look what he said. He said, not only am I going to seek the Lord, but those that are in my staff, those that are in this town. Listen, man, I would love to see a leader today to stand up and say, you know what we need to do? We need to pray. Jehoshaphat feared. Man, I love to see the President of the United States, instead of bending down and apologizing to everybody for what we've done, I love to see him say, we need to pray. Amen. Second Chronicles. I hope I find chapter 7, verse 14. I think that's the verse. Look at when he makes reference to the house. He's talking about the house of the Lord that Solomon was allowed to build. And in Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, he's giving the steps of what he need to do. He said, if my people, Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And this is a solution for America. This is a solution for every nation. If my people, which are called by my name, we are God's people tonight, amen? We are called by his name. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Here's what the point of it is, shall humble themselves. We need a lot of humility today. You know the reason why God can't do a lot for us is because we don't humble ourselves. You know, I'd rather humble myself than have God humiliate me. Amen? But we need to humble ourselves. Listen, when you humble ourselves, we recognize our frailty and we understand God's power. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And then here's the remedy that we need. Some of us get to that point of humbling ourselves. Some of us get to that point of praying. But then he says, and seek my face. How? Turning from their wicked ways. Sometimes we lose our effectiveness and power for God because we're still holding on to sins that we shouldn't be holding on to. Amen? Sometimes we lose our effectiveness for God because we have not turned completely from our wicked ways. Any area that Satan can get a foothold on is that area that we're not willing to give up to God. Any area that becomes a point of weakness in battle is that area where we're not willing to turn. Oh, that our nation would take hold of this verse tonight. And first of all, humble ourselves. There ought to be a lot of humbling going on. Amen. We've failed God. I pray for our president. I pray for our Congress. I pray. You know what the biggest problem in our White House is today? And the biggest problem is in our Congress. And the biggest problem is in our Senate is pride. We've forgotten where we came from. And because we've forgotten God, and because we forgot, we have so many people so prideful in that office that in 1963 we decided to take the very standard that this nation was built upon, the very word of God that was built upon this nation, and remove it from our public schools. That was a prideful move. In the 1960s as well, we decided that a woman ought to have a right to choose and could terminate her pregnancy at any time. And instead of humbling ourselves, we instituted and legalized murder. In our very nation, because we didn't humble ourselves, we allowed the Sodomites to take over our land. And by the way, they're in our schools, they're in our and they're in every facet of life. It used to be a shame to come out of the closet. Now they don't even think about the closet anymore. They're out in the open. and we lost our sight. And the fact that we can't humble ourselves. Oh, we need a lot of humbling in our nation tonight. And secondly, we need prayer. Prayer is the effective weapon that the Lord has given us. You know, someone said, Satan trembles when even the weakest saints gets on his knees and seek my face. You see, it doesn't stop with prayer. What are you doing to seek the face of God tonight? To seek to get close to God. See, when you're seeking his face, you're seeking to get close to him tonight. And then he says, and turn from their wicked ways. Put away the sins of your forefather. Put away the sins of your life so that you can be effective and powerful for God. Then, and only then, will I hear from heaven. I believe that 9/11 was a wake-up call for our nation. I believe that God took his hands and his heads from our nation just to give us a glimpse of what can happen if we don't get our lives right. And everybody in our nation was, God bless America. Remember that? Signs everywhere, God bless America. If it wasn't 24 hours later, we were doing the same things we were doing before then. But God gave us a wake-up call. Let me tell you something. We're not in a good position right now. We are in the verge of losing our freedoms, in the verge of losing our nation. I fear for my children. So what do I need to do? I need to follow God's remedy like Jehoshaphat did. I feared, but I began to seek the Lord and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I love America. Amen. I am an American citizen. I want God to heal this land. I want this land to be at its prior glory. I want this land to be a land where for the free and the brave. Right now, we've fallen so far away from God, and we've set ourselves into a prideful state of our nation that we think our government needs to run everything because they are the only ones that can do it right. Believe me, this will come back and bite us. We need to get back to the powerful church that we need to be. And revival begins right here. The truth of the matter is we pray for revival. We pray for God to bring back to our name. But listen, if it doesn't start with me, it's never going to start. Jehoshaphat feared, but he sought the Lord. And it's a wonderful story, really, of God's deliverance. We see this army coming up against them, and all of a sudden, he began to pray. And not only did he begin to pray, but he got his family involved. He got those under him involved. That's why the important things of leadership. Listen, if we are to be leaders in our home, we get our children worshiping God the way we should be. If we're going to be leaders in our home, we need to get our children behind us on the standard of truth. And Jehoshaphat stood, and after he feared, he prayed, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and then he proclaimed the fast. In other words, he consecrated himself before the Lord. Man, we need to get back to that consecration of our lives before God. And what did he do after he prayed? He began to speak. And verse 5 says, Jehoshaphat prayed, he feared, and then he stood. Amen? You know, the position of the battle that we're in is a position of standing. It's a position of standing for what's right. Someone said, if you don't stand for anything, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And today, we lost our ability to stand. I want you to know, we in this church stand for some things. Amen? We in this church believe some things. There's some truth that I'm going to stand up. Why? For the sake of those that are behind me. Listen, for the sake of my children, I'm going to stand upon the principles of the Word of God. For the sake of my children, I'm going to make sure that we don't waver from the truth of the Word of God. For the sake of those that are coming behind me, listen, I want to make sure that we stand upon the principles of the Word of God. Because the battle is here. But our position is that to stand. Look at verse 6. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. And now, thou God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land, all of a sudden Jehoshaphat begins to remind God of his promises to the children of Israel. I want to know, how well do you know your God? You know, in our prayer life, sometimes we need to take the same stand and begin to remind God and begin to quote. Listen, Jehoshaphat knew the word of God, and that's how he could pray, and that's how he could stand in the midst of the battle. And I'm going to read to you from verse number 20. I'm going to jump all the way. It's a wonderful chapter to read at your home, but I just want to close it here in verse number 20 and 21. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear, O Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when they had consulted with the people and the appointed singers unto the Lord, that he should praise the beauty of his holiness, and they went out before the army and say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Listen, this is a wonderful, wonderful story of how God gave them victory. God told them, "I want you to take your singers and I want you to put them on the hills." And they began to sing, and the singing of Judah was so wonderful and so powerful that the enemy thought that they were a mightier army than they were, and they went into confusion and they started killing one another, and Jehoshaphat didn't have to do a thing. What I'm telling you tonight is, in the midst of the battle, God's going to fight for you. Amen? Things are going to get difficult. Satan will give us his best, but the battle is the Lord's battle. The encouraging word that came to Jehoshaphat was this. He said, "This battle is not your battle. This battle is God's battle. All you have to do is stand. All you have to do is sing. All you have to do is trust him." Listen, when Jehoshaphat rose up early that morning, he stood and he said, "Believe in the Lord your God." You know the perfect remedy for fear is to believe God. You know what the perfect remedy for lack of faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Believe God. And if you believe God, listen, God will give you victory to the greatest of battles. Believe in the Lord your God. And then he said, "So shall you be established." Believe this prophets. Man, you need to get on the preaching. Sometimes we lose the battle because we're not in the place where we should be, and we're not under the preaching that we should be. And he says, "So shall he prosper." I want to prosper in the battle. I want to win the battle. Then I need to get under the authority and the direction of God. Let me ask you to bow your heads tonight. I don't know where you're at tonight. Maybe the battle has come to you. And I tell you, the battle comes. If it's not there now, get ready for it. It's coming. Satan will look to discourage you, to battle you on every front. He will battle you in the area of your leadership. He will battle you in the area of your children. He will battle you in the area of your spiritual walk with God. Satan is set a trap and a battle for you. What ought to be our response? Have you set yourself to seek the Lord? Let me ask you this. How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? How's your church life? How's your ministry involvement? Sometimes these areas of battle take us away from the place where we should be. We have let them move us from the place where we should be tonight. Then maybe we ought to do, as we're told in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "This people which are called by my name." 2 Chronicles 7:14, he gives us a remedy. Is that you tonight? Are you in need of that remedy tonight? Do you need to call upon the Lord? And listen, do you need to call upon him tonight and turn to God? Are you his people tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you come to know him tonight? Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for you. Listen, are you his tonight? Are you part of his people? If you are not, you can be tonight. All it takes is a simple step to trust him as your personal savior, to come to him and ask you to cleanse you of your sins. Are you his tonight? And if you are, have you humbled yourself? Do you think you're self-sufficient? You have no need of God? Have you humbled yourself? Have you prayed? Have you seek his face? Is there things in your life that are hindering you from walking close to him? Have you turned from your wicked ways? I want to have an attentive ear from the Lord. Because then he says, if I turn from those wicked ways, he will hear from heaven, forgive my sin, and heal my land. Where are you tonight? Only you know. If the Lord's spoken to your heart tonight, I ask that you stand. Maybe you're in a battle. Just stand tonight. Maybe you're in a battle. Maybe you're, I don't know where you're at, but if God has spoken to your heart in any way tonight, come to this altar tonight. The altar is open as you stand tonight. If God's moving you tonight, I ask that you come before the altar, and I ask that you mean business with God. We have no music, but the Spirit of God is here. Amen? And if God's spoken to your heart tonight, why not come mean business at this altar? Amen? So if God's spoken to you, go ahead and move. Go ahead and come in business before God if he's spoken to you tonight. Be in need of salvation, knowing Christ as your personal Savior. It may be a need that you might have been involved in the battle and you felt like giving up. Set yourself to seek the Lord tonight. Draw nigh to him and he will draw nigh to you. Let your heart be that heart which seeks after God. Maybe you gave up on some things and you lessen some standards. It's time to mean business with God tonight and get close to him. There's music. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, and we'll sing our hymn that we sing every night, number 300. Take the name of Jesus with you. And then we will pray and dismiss our service. Amen.
name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you, take it everywhere you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. And the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heaven's crown him, when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are involved in a spiritual battle. We do understand that our enemy seeketh to destroy and to devour. The Bible says he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Father, we thank you that someday our battle will be over. And when the battle's over, we will wear a crown. I'm glad, Lord Jesus, that you're coming again. And I look forward, Lord, to your coming. Help us, Lord, to endure in the battle by seeking your face. Help us this week to make it a purpose to seek the Lord in every area of life, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you. You're all dismissed.